I heard of Wu-Tang, but I have no idea what the hell it is.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure there's other people in the same boat.
We're going to need a whole other episode to dive into that. I don't know. Frank, I'm speechless. Oh, my God. Somebody help Frank.
New Haven style pizza. Come and take a seat. A pizza, it's time to eat.
All right, Chartered New Haven Pizza Show, episode 21. Can't believe we've done 21 of these already.
2-1.
It's Kevin Begley, Frank Zabski. Welcome back. Obviously, we have a guest this episode, Mike Pollock. You've probably seen his artwork in New Haven. Had that awesome pop-up shop at the District. And New Haven Pizza Club is the name of your Instagram, of all the things you're doing, right, Mike?
Yes, it is. It's more or less the title of my art collection. There's not actually a club per se, but... Yeah. Sort of the way I'm looking at that aspect is, you know, if you purchase the artwork, if you see the artwork or enjoy anything I'm doing, you're kind of part of the club. So
yeah, we first started talking about this on one of the episodes, Frank, because we saw the statue.
Oh yeah.
And then we saw the pop-up that you did and we were like, this is amazing. It was just incredible.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so give us a little brief background of your history. So you're from Connecticut.
Yep, born and raised in Connecticut. Grew up in Brantford and Woodbridge. Been living downtown for about 10 years. Really love it, downtown New Haven. I love all the people there and the businesses and everything that's been happening in the city. And also I was born there, so I feel like I got some roots.
Yeah.
But, you know, pizza obviously is a red hot subject, and I was looking to sort of do something in the arts. I've been working as a creative director for a long time, doing creative for other people and other brands and businesses, and I wanted to do something for myself where I had full creative control. And it took me a long time to kind of figure out what that subject matter was going to be that I was going to go all in on. And when pizza came up, it just kind of clicked. Yeah. And I couldn't think of one reason not to kind of run with that as my subject matter. And, you know, that's kind of where it started.
It's awesome.
So what, you know, we're going to get back into that because you actually answered one of the questions I was going to ask you, but I'm going to ask it a different way. But obviously growing up in New Haven, your favorite pizza places.
So my family pretty much grew up around Sally's, you know, they had connections there and that's kind of where they brought me as a kid.
Okay.
And it's funny because my earliest memories of Sally's and pizza in general, as much as I loved eating it, was as a kid, like, you know, you had to wait in line outside, then you had to wait and wait and wait for your pizza. And then maybe you got a soda first and then, you know, 2 hours later you got your pizza. And as a little kid, yeah. I was like, man, are we doing that again? Seriously? But you know, growing up now, it's fun just having those memories and seeing what it's become and, you know, seeing how it's kind of put New Haven on the map in a real way. And that makes me feel real proud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than Sally's, so everyone always mentions Sally's, Pepe's Modern, the Trinity, so on and so forth. So I'm one of those guys, and I know everyone has their own kind of angle on this, but, you know, I love Sally's, Pepe's and Modern,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also a big hidden gem guy. So not Sally's, Pepe's and Modern. Give us, in New Haven, even in Connecticut, your favorite non-Trinity pizzeria. I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I know. These are questions I really didn't want to have to answer.
You know,
I'm trying to remain neutral in the subject, but let's see. What would be my hidden gem? I would say one new hidden gem would be maybe Atticus Market. They just started turning out pizza and they kind of have a history of, you know, bread making in New Haven. And I think they do a great job with their sauce and cheese. And they only do pizzas right now, I think, 3 days a week. So, you know, that's kind of a cool little thing that's happened in New Haven.
Nice.
Let's see, outside of New Haven, I'm trying to think. Truthfully, I haven't had too many pizzas outside of New Haven. Because it's like, why? When, you know, when you're going to go for pie, you got to...
when you're living in downtown New Haven.
100%.
Yeah. What was the place that you just showed us when you walked in with the Wu-Tang pizza?
So Nolo, which I believe was the old Delania, and now they've kind of merged into one.
Oh, okay.
They have a really great pie. I happen to love their pepperoni specifically. But recently, I think they... brought it back because it was an old concept they did, but they make a Wu-Tang pie. So the pie itself is in the shape of the Wu-Tang W, and it still maintains all the kind of characteristics of
Mike,
true beats.
Mike, time out 1 second. I'm going to tell you I'm showing my age right now. But I heard Wu-Tang, but I have no idea what the hell it is.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure there's other people in the same boat.
We're going to need a whole other episode to dive into that. I don't know. Frank, I'm speechless. Oh, my God. Somebody help Frank.
We're on the schedule right now. We're going to have Mike come back. He's going to make you a playlist, and we'll listen to the Wu-Tang songs while we eat pizza.
Yeah, but I can give you the cliff notes. A guy named RZA, who was a hip-hop artist, producer back in New York back in the day, he essentially brought together a clan of 11 individually talented rappers from all over the New York area and formed what was the Wu-Tang Clan, which was one of the biggest and most notorious and still is to this day billion-dollar brand, Wu-Tang. All over, it's global, but they've had so many unbelievable albums together as a group, and I think just about every member of the Wu-Tang has branched off into a solo career
Yeah.
So it's kind of a hip-hop rap kind of vibe.
Yeah, it's a group, yeah.
Okay.
Very, very, very amazing sort of original sampled analog style instrumentals and, you know, gritty lyricists.
And the logo has become sort of like an iconic logo in the music world.
Yeah, I was
going
to ask you about that.
That's why when I saw the pizza, I was like, that's so neat how they did it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to get with anyone in New Haven who's doing cool, disruptive stuff with pizza and art and things like that. So it fit the bill perfect.
And I feel like that's what's cool with when I first started seeing your artwork pop up. Like, pizza itself is almost art, you know? Like, where different pizza places have different styles, different toppings, the way they make it. Like, there's so many different ways to do it. Same thing with artwork. So I feel like it goes hand in hand with what you're doing.
The subtitle to my collection is Discover the Art of Pizza.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where that was born, because I couldn't agree more, you know, and that's part of the reason I rolled in the photography aspect of the project, because I really thought that just a pizza on a wall would be, you know, something that everyone appreciated and a great conversation piece, et cetera.
Yeah. Before we get into some of the art you brought, can you tell us the story of the district, you know, how that came about that you got your art in there?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my best friends is an absolute genius, an innovative thinker, a tech guy, an entrepreneur, David Salinas. And he essentially developed and built District into what it is today. It's kind of an incubator, a tech campus with almost 400 businesses under one roof.
Wow.
And he's seen my collection evolve. One of my earliest pizza slices that I made and framed, I gifted to him and hung in his office, and it started to get a lot of eyeballs at District. Fast forward about 3-4 years later, when I've now curated a whole bunch of stuff that no one's seen yet, I was talking to him about wanting to display it in some retail space in New Haven, and he said, oh, do it at District. And that kind of just forced me to dream big, because now I had this humongous space that I needed to curate. And that helped me just really think outside the box, figure out how I was going to fill this whole room. And that's also kind of what helped me birth the Pizza Capital Monument, which is, you know, the 9,000-pound sculpture that everyone's talking about, sort of the beacon of the collection. And just something that I knew I needed to do for the city and for myself and sort of... Yeah, so that right there is a 1/20th scale, but it's an exact replica of the monument. And that's kind of something that someone could take home, essentially, because no one could take home the monument.
Right. Now, the monument, that's moving. So do you put it in different places, or does it stay in one spot?
It's not meant to be moved, but, you know, in order to get attention on it and, you know, basically fulfill some of the opportunities that had come up, we did move it a few times. So I unveiled it at District for my art shows there for about 2 weeks. Yep. I wasn't at that moment really sure where it was going to go. But I had a few plans in the works. I did get introduced to Billy Modern very early on, and he's been very supportive of the project. And along the way, I was kind of talking to him about what was going to happen with this thing. And I said, well, you know, I want to give it a temporary residency until we figure this out. He's like, oh, put it in my parking lot. I was like, well, that would be amazing. Okay, sure. And, you know, I've been talks with a lot of other people, but Billy's a guy who makes stuff happen. Mm. And that's kind of been the common theme throughout this project and how I've been able to execute on so many of these things is by working with other people who just want to get stuff done. Take down the red tape and let's just do it, you know? And so it started off at District. Then I had an opportunity to move it downtown for the bike race and the pizza fest. And they gave me just an unbelievable piece of real estate on the corner of the green to show it off to the city.
Nice.
Not a lot of people know this, and I am trying to get this story out, but after a Beats Feast and the bicycle race at about 1 in the morning, we packed it up again, and we drove it all the way to Randall's Island.
I was going
to
ask you about this.
And using a little bit of my negotiating skills, some fake credentials, and just kind of looking and acting the part, I managed to get us in at 3 a.m. past the security when no one was there at One Bite. And we erected the whole thing in the middle of the night and kind of sat there and watched the sun come up, hoping that we'd be meeting Portnoy in a few hours The whole crowd there would see it. And unfortunately, just before opening bell, the New York City inspectors have to come through One Bite and give final sign off. And of course, this was nowhere on their radar, and They weren't going to let the event go on. And so the union guys came in with a forklift and just went right through the holes,
picked it
up, drove it right outside the bounds of One Bite.
Were you standing right near it?
Oh, yeah. We got the whole thing on video.
Were you nervous they were going to like wreck the statue?
We were fairly nervous, but they gave it the tender, loving care that we asked for, so to speak. But really, they just went right through and picked it up, which is not how we designed it to be moved. But we built it using kind of caveman strength engineering, and It didn't even get a scratch on it from just like picking it up and moving it.
So what's the material? Is it metal? Is it concrete? Is it a combination?
The slice itself is about 3,000 pounds of pure steel.
Wow.
There's nothing but I-beams and HSS piping and, you know, steel plating on there. And then the base itself is essentially 6,000 pounds of concrete.
Wow.
And there's a channel within it that the pizza slice kind of slides into, and then it's all rebarbed throughout the concrete, so it gives it a lot of extra structure.
Oh, man.
And the way I was essentially able to bring that to reality was with my partner's Tancredi Construction. So one of my best friends, Joe Tancredi, owns a construction company. He had an unbelievable crew. He flew up his buddy Eric Margolis, who is a union welder for NASA.
Wow.
So we caught him right between a contract, and he just packed up his bags and moved back to Connecticut and spent about a month all day long, all night long, welding this thing together.
Wow. This thing could go to space.
Definitely. You know, it takes a team to do big things and make big, you know, ideas come to fruition. And that was a big part of my project because I come from a commercial background. I did all this fine art with my own two hands, obviously, but then there was a lot of people I knew and ideas I wanted to work on with other people by forming strategic partnerships. Monument's a perfect example. We did a beer with Armada. We did a jacket with Campus Customs and so on and so forth. And these are all things I can't really do with just my own resources.
Yeah, it's smart.
So, you know, to reach other broader audiences and to work and network with people and kind of create a team around this project, that's my approach.
And how did you move the statue yourself? So do you use a trailer? Do you use a truck? Like,
it takes several pieces of equipment and a small team of guys to kind of make all the pick points. It's a very delicate process, if you will, because it's very heavy. A lot could go wrong.
Right.
But I was blessed with a team of professionals that, you know, have a lot of experience in those things. And I kind of let them take over at that point.
And now it stands where? At Modern?
It is at Modern right now. It should be there for a decent amount of time. The city's reached out. Elliker wants to buy the monument from us and use it as a piece of public art.
Don't sell it.
We have a lot of money into it. We do need to recoup that.
Right. I was going
to
say, everyone,
Frank, I'm open to ideas.
Everyone's got a price.
You know what you do, Mike? Lease it to them.
That is a good idea. That is a very
That's
good
idea. That's not a bad
idea. So you get a little cashish and you retain your sculpture.
Because pizza is a big commodity.
I'm available for business consulting.
I'll remember that. Pizza is a big commodity in Connecticut right now. They got the sign up now at the border, the pizza capital of the United States.
Yep.
You know, the statue, like it's a hot thing right now.
It's very hot. A lot of really amazing, intelligent people have been doing great things around this subject. We're all kind of running on parallel paths. And I think recently we're starting to come together. You know, we're coming together.
Yeah.
That was a big driving factor in my project and why I chose pizza. Obviously, it's a very positive subject that everybody loves, and it brings people together, obviously, to eat and rejoice and, you know, things like that. But on a larger scale, it really brings people together in conversations and collaborative efforts and creativity.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I just can't think of one bad thing to say about pizza.
It's so true. We couldn't agree more. You know, with this show, we talk about it all the time, how it brings people together like that. But let's go through some of the stuff that you brought here on the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't we start with the statue and sort of go around?
Sure. So, you know, we got the big monument and we're showing it off in public, and then we want to kind of merchandise that as well. I have an exclusive retail dealer with Campus Customs.
Yep.
They're going to be sort of selling and promoting and housing all of the Pizza Capital Monument merchandise.
Nice.
Which will kind of go nicely with their Pizza Life brand that they already have established. They have a lot of apparel.
I got a bunch of shirts they have.
Yeah. They did our shirts for the Connecticut Pizza and Brew Fest that we did over the summer at the amphitheater in Bridgeport. Yeah. They're great. They do great designs.
Jeremy's awesome. He's been so fast with the turnarounds and the quality's been great, and that's all I can ask for, you know.
Yeah. And you could also buy stuff on your website. I know we'll probably get to that, but just because we're on talking on that subject.
So. Absolutely. So newhavenpizzaclub.com is where I have everything about the project, and I started up the e-com. We have the prints available, and we will have a lot of other items and artwork such on there as well in the coming weeks.
Okay.
Especially we're getting geared up for the holiday season, and we know, you know, gift giving's huge, and giving the gift of pizza is like no other.
It's the best.
It is.
And just, I want to confirm this. So there is no particular club membership ownership. It's just a club of people because it's all the same.
It's a mindset.
It really is. You know, originally, when I came up with the project, I really wasn't sure what to call it, what to do, you know, and when all of a sudden I came up with New Haven Pizza Club, it just kind of clicked again, and it felt right. And, you know, the way I like to operate as a creative is when I come up with ideas, it's like, it's always a great idea the moment you think of it.
Yes.
And if it's still a good idea the next day, then it's pretty good. But then if a week later it's still a good idea, then you might be onto something. And then if a month goes by and you still think it's a good idea, then you might want to pursue it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how that worked. I kind of kept that thing buried, and then it just, everybody liked it that heard it. And I was like, okay, this is it.
Yeah. That's great.
Awesome. This is the one.
I have one other question on the statue. So obviously it's a mostly a steel statue with a concrete base on it. And I would assume, and I've actually driven by it because I do my pizza classes right around the corner from District, but it's kind of a natural rust, for lack of a better word, color, correct? Yep.
We wanted it to have that like natural rust patina, they call it, and sort of have one of those like more industrial looks.
Sure.
Which also kind of plays into the charred pizza and the undercarriage and the crispiness and the, you know, I like to call them the perfect imperfections of the pie.
Yeah.
And I think
charred goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just wanted to kind of look tough and stand tall. And I also wanted to, you know, differentiate it from a lot of other public art pieces that have these like really fine finishes and, you know, textures. I thought we were doing something a little more original with that.
Sure.
And I thought it contrasted the concrete base pretty nicely.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And to be honest with you, one of the other reasons that I sort of designed it that way was because I knew how difficult sculpting metal can be. And so part of this design was sort of the simplicity of it and the way that we were able to almost put it together like an erector set plus welding. So that was a big part of the original design was, you know, your design's only as good as what you can execute on.
Yeah.
So I have to think about things all the way through execution. And am I going to be able to take my concept and actually pull it off exactly how I planned it? If you saw the original render that I came up with, it is almost identical to the original slice. And that was, you know, that was a year before the slice actually grew into what it is.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
So it's pretty cool.
And what is this made out of, this one right here?
So this is pretty much my icon logo of the New Haven Pizza Club. It's a stencil style pizza slice. And this right here is pure concrete. So what I did originally was make it out of wood, get a 3D version of it, and then I made a silicone mold, which allows me to pour it with concrete or any other material that you can pour and dry. And I got it sitting on a bed of shredded modern pizza boxes, you know, just to stay on brand with New Haven. And that one's painted, obviously. Everything I make usually sculpt is then hand-painted afterwards to give a little more character, such as this right here, painted in the chrome gold. And there'll be different renders and iterations of pretty much everything I do.
Yeah.
Trying to keep everything in, like, limited batches so that we're not just repeating stuff over years and years. It's like we do a series of something, it sells, and it probably will never come back unless you want to talk about a commission.
See, now that's a good business model.
Right, exactly.
Because it builds only a small part of, you know, there's only a small limited production. But this here is really cool. I'm just going to...
Yep.
Oh, yeah, the one in the front there. You got it?
Yeah.
So that's a print of my blueprint series. I did pretty much a bunch of different series throughout my art collection to showcase different styles of art, different mediums. I really wanted to have something to appeal to everyone. And you know, art's very subjective. You don't know what people are going to like.
Yeah.
But that was also turned out to be one of the most special pieces in my collection because I was able to get my hands on original blueprint documents from English Station. So English Station was an old coal-fired power plant in New Haven that powered the entire city by coal, which is very ironic because that's how we make our pizza for the most part.
Yeah.
And I found out later in the project that from actually Rick Consiglio that some of the earliest pizza makers would go to English Station to get the coal for the pizza places.
Oh, wow.
And they actually got a product, a byproduct of coal called coke,
yeah,
which is like a, I guess, a more airy, powdery form of coal that allows it to heat up and burn quicker.
Mm.
So I got those original documents, which are pretty much one of ones. All the blueprints themselves were also hand-drawn when they were made.
Wow,
and when crazy. I got them, I had no idea I was doing this project. I got those blueprints 10 years ago just because of how cool I thought the paper itself was.
Sure.
And then when I'm figuring out new ideas and ways to, you know, create things for this project, I was like, oh, I got these blueprints. Maybe I can draw on them. At that point, I was also working on quasi blueprints of the pizza monument. And so I just kind of wove those in and drew pizza monument style architectural drawings of slices on those blueprints. And those were, you know, a piece of art.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
These are probably my favorite. Talk to us about these.
So that is essentially the packaging I created for all of my print series, and all the, you know, original works were taken into a studio, photographed in high def, and that is how I was able to make prints. And I, again, going back to the strategic partnerships, I knew I was going to have to run off a lot of prints. I had a great relationship with Tyco. They're right on Broadway. They do unbelievable work, always have for years for me personally. And so I brought this whole project and concept to them, told them I was doing prints, and pitched them on a partnership deal where I had designed a custom embossing stamp that says Made in New Haven, Tyco print. I put a little pizza slice in there.
Yeah.
And I hand embossed every single print that I got from them.
Nice.
So it's got a little bit of texture and a little extra touch point, a little something that says New Haven on it for all these pieces. And that's where I had all my prints made. And then I came up with the packaging, which essentially is a stay flat envelope. It's got that white sort of waxy pizza box.
Yeah, it looks like a pizza box. Yeah.
And there's a stamp that I made that I hit them all with, which is an homage to the Sally's pizza box design. So I'm really taking art and combining it with pizza and then combining it with New Haven history. So there's all kinds of like little gems, if you can find them, woven throughout each piece.
And even, you know, the local part of it too, you're even using Campus Customs and, you know, the print company, Tyco, these places that are from New Haven, in New Haven, yeah, operating in New Haven. It's awesome.
Authenticity was a huge thing that I wanted to stay very true to with this project. One, because I love New Haven. Two, because I know how much can be sourced in New Haven. And not a lot of people know how much history that we actually have here and
yeah,
how many inventions created in New Haven that have become world renowned and definitely used everywhere. So I thought that was really cool and special. And I also think that just thoughtfulness alone is a form of art. And I wanted to incorporate every form of art that I was capable of,
yep,
into my work. So thoughtfulness is like the number one, you know,
yeah,
that you can almost, you know, overcome anything with just that. So that was a big important part of the entire project. And I think that keeping the storyline consistent with New Haven and New Haven businesses and was just the natural kind, yeah, of path, the natural way to go. As soon as I did my first one, I was like, oh, this is great. I'm working with a New Haven business. I'm creating hype. I'm bringing the creative. They already have a great brand and great people. I didn't really go off and work with people I didn't know. Most of the people I had established relationships with over the last 10 years, and that helped a lot too.
Yeah.
But now that we've pulled everything off and executed it, it's really making it easy to collaborate with other people.
So this leads me into probably one of our last questions. What's the future?
Great question. A lot of people ask me that, and I always say the same thing. I'm kind of just going with the flow on this project. I have been since day one. I haven't forced anything. I've just been staying true to the project and my thoughts and my ideas and my creative, and it's just led to one thing and led to the next. And it's almost like I've been sort of locked into this like higher level of consciousness because all I've been doing and breathing and talking about and eating and sleeping is this project.
Yeah.
And somehow that has just put out energy into the universe that just keeps coming back.
Good.
the state of Connecticut reached out to me right after they announced those signs, wanting to do a collaboration.
Oh, cool.
Anthony, the chief marketing officer.
He's great. I've interviewed him before on the radio station.
He's the man. Anthony, can't forget that name.
Right. Real name, too.
I call him Double A7, Agent Double A7.
That's great.
He's one of my secret weapons. And he reached out and now has me doing a commission project where I'm designing Nike sneakers for the state of Connecticut.
Wow.
He's doing a lot of cultural forward stuff and trying to get people engaged with the state and the city and things like that, which is exactly what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So it's great that we're on similar missions. He's got the DOT department right now getting me about 20 of those big metal signs, and I'm going to work it into a sculpture and an icon design of the pizza state that I've already designed. Rosa DeLora showed up at my opening, and her and I have formed a pretty good bond, and she wants me to take the project and the monument to Washington, D.C., and work on a gala for her constituents, and the mayor's reached out to buy the monument. So I'm trying to put all these people together, stay outside of politics and remain neutral, but also just like show the love for my state and my city, which I think we can all, again, come together on.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's kind of what the future's looking
like. And before we wrap up, let's talk about this beer real quick, and I want to see those sneakers too. So,
yep.
So this one is one that you did with Armada?
Yeah, we did. So that label design, excuse me. That label design was done by an artist friend of mine who I commissioned to essentially design a header for my website originally that represented my project. It was kind of like a made-up vision of a make-believe New Haven Pizza Club. So there's a lot of homages to New Haven on that label. And, of course, my buddy Johnny at Armada Brewing does a fantastic job with beer. So I went right to him, and he said yes. And again, we got stuff done. It almost happened instantaneously. I showed him the design. His eyes lit up. He has an amazing brand and does unbelievable creative himself. So it was really an honor for him to even allow this to happen and go onto his beers because of what the rest of his
they always have really cool like. Labels and yeah, they do a great job there. Yeah,
show us the sneakers.
Yeah, let's see the all sneakers. Right. So, these are I saw these on your Instagram. I can't believe you brought them.
Of sneaks. These are the newest pair, the New Balances, but we're not calling them New Balances. We're calling them New Havens.
Nice.
So it's kind of just a, homage to pizza, homage to sneakers.
Now, did you design these right on the shoe? Did you actually do the artwork on it or...
Most of the times I do come up with a concept first on my computer so I know what it looks like.
Okay, yeah.
These, I just went straight on it, one take. I just kind of wanted to have like a Mike Pollock signature shoe. So you got the New Haven Pizza Club abbreviation on there. And then on the other side, you got the sort of pizza slices on the N.
I'll hold it up to this camera too so they can see it close.
And then another little cool thing I did with these sneakers... Which you kind of don't see on a lot of shoes.
What size are those? Are those 10 and a half?
These are 11s.
Often those.
So what I did on these, which is kind of cool, is one side of the shoe, the inside of this one, the outside, has the pizza slices.
Oh.
And then the inside, so depending on what side you catch the person walking on, you kind of get
a different
glimpse of the shoe.
That's great.
So that was just a cool little design factor.
That's awesome, man. Dude, congrats with everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much, man.
And for promoting New Haven. You know, we talk about, obviously, New Haven pizza all the time on this show.
Yeah.
But just getting the word out there. And your creativity is off the charts.
So. Thanks. Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate this energy,
which is really cool.
Exactly.
Thank you.
If people want to follow you and check out your stuff, give out your Instagram.
Instagram is NHVPC, which is the abbreviation I'm using for New Haven Pizza Club. And, you can reach out, you can contact me on there. You can see what we're doing with the project on either newhavenpizzaclub.com or on our Instagram.
And people can go to the district and see some artwork there too, right?
100%. So yeah, I have a little clubhouse that I've curated there, and I have the entire interior hallway curated with the collection. You can get in there anytime during the week, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. You can walk right in the front door where Bear's Barbecue is around back, get into the building, buzz in. 007 enter, that'll get you in and you can check out everything.
Nice.
And to buy prints and things like that for Christmas gifts or holiday gifts, whatever you call it, where do you go for that?
NewHavenPizzaClub.com. We got the art store up. I'm shipping things pretty much within a day or two. So
nice.
If you're local, you'll have it in no time.
All right, Mike Pollock, New Haven Pizza Club. Thanks so much for being with us today. Episode 21 is wrapped. And we'll talk to you next time. Make sure to follow, listen, watch, share with your friends. And remember, it's not burnt.
It's charred, baby.
A pizza, it's time to eat.